My guest at this time is Grace Marie Turner. She is the president of the Galen Institute, one of the leading healthcare policy organizations in the country. She has recently written about an important legal decision that is coming down the pike on Obamacare. No, it's not the one that we just got on religious freedom and the HHS mandate on contraception coverage. Instead, it's one that was heard earlier this year before a three-judge panel of the D.C. Court of Appeals. And the question is whether subsidies can be given to people who sign up for health care if they do so on the federal exchange, because the law says it can only happen through state exchanges. And Grace Marie, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Greg. Thank you.
So how significant is this?
It's huge, and I think that the left really gets it. I mean, remember, this law was very sloppily written, never intended to go into effect as it was done, and because of a lot of behind-the-scenes maneuvering, we wound up basically with a draft as a law. Well, the law says that the subsidies, as you explained, for health insurance can only be distributed through state exchanges, an exchange established by the state. As Judge one of the judges in this panel, Raymond Randolph, said during the hearings, he said it actually says seven times in the statute that the subsidies are only available to state exchanges set up by the states. Well, that means that the folks in the 36 states that did not establish an exchange are not getting legal subsidies. It blows a hole through the middle of Obamacare, and that also means if the exchanges are not available, there's no way to enforce the individual mandate or the employer mandate. So key provisions of the law really are on the line here. And I actually went to listen to the oral arguments on March the 23rd before the Court of Appeals here, and it really sounded to me like the judges were saying, you know, this is what the law says. It's not up to us to change the law. If it needs to be changed, you need to go back to Congress to do it. But if it says that Congress only thought the subsidies were going to go to exchanges established by states, you can't distribute them through an exchange established by the federal government. That's not legal. And we're talking about billions of dollars of subsidies. We're talking about 4 to 5 million people who are getting these subsidies in the 36 states. So this is a very big deal. And this decision could come down as early as tomorrow. We have been expecting it any day. They issue decisions usually on Tuesdays and Fridays at the Court of Appeals here. And it could come as early as tomorrow morning.
Grace Marie, take us a little slower through the connection you made from if this decision goes against the administration, and so subsidies granted through the federal exchange are not legal, obviously we're talking about much higher health care costs unless there's a legislative remedy for anyone who signed up through the exchange and is currently getting subsidies. How does that then lead to the destruction of the individual mandate and employer mandate?
Well, for the employer mandate first, the law says that employers are only subject to the fines and penalties if any of their employees were to get a subsidy for health insurance through the exchange. If there's no exchange through which they can get a subsidy, then employers are off the hook for the employer mandate. And individuals are not required to purchase health insurance if the cost to them for the premiums would be over a certain percentage of their income. I believe it's about 8.5%. What this would mean, as you point out, is that people would then be faced with the full cost of the subsidies, not their subsidized cost. 87% of people getting health insurance through the exchanges are getting subsidies. They would then have to pay the full cost, and for the great majority of them, that would be over the 8.5% of their income, and therefore the individual mandate would not apply to them.
Let's just say, obviously, for argument's sake, that the court rules against the administration's position here, and obviously it would go on the pipeline either to the full D.C. Circuit or to the Supreme Court. From a political perspective here, I can envision the administration doing one of two things. Number one, amending the law unilaterally, as it has on a number of things, including deadlines and other aspects of the law, or obviously demanding a legislative fix to this, saying that if anyone doesn't want to go along with this, they're basically forcing American families into bankruptcy. So how would you expect this to play out on that front?
Well, I think on a practical level that the if if there were to be a 2-to-1 ruling, it's a 3-judge panel, if there were to be a 2-to-1 ruling saying that, yes, we have to heed what the law says, the subsidies are not legal, I think there would probably be a stay so that the court would basically itself say that we're not going to enforce the ending these subsidies until this does work its way through the courts. And I think that the government would very quickly appeal to the full appeals court, an in-bank hearing, they call it. And, of course, this is the court that the president has basically been stacking with liberal appointees. And so I think there would be very likely not win on a full in-bank hearing. But there are two other challenges to this, one in Oklahoma and one in Indiana, that have not yet been decided either. And if either one of those were to say that the subsidies are not legal, then you have a split, so the Supreme Court would have to hear it possibly next term.
If, in fact, the plaintiffs win before the 3-judge panel, regardless of what an en banc version of the D.C. Circuit would say, whoever loses appeals that to the Supremes, I would guess, right?
Yes, that's right. And it would just be another huge black eye to the president. I mean, the D.C. Court of Appeals is really the most prestigious of the appeals courts. And if the administration were to lose, after having changed the law 22 other times, then it shows that they are overreaching their authority, which we have seen not just in dealing with Obamacare, but in a lot of other sectors as well, that it really challenges the administration's modus operandi in deciding that they're just going to take the law into their own hands, rewrite the law when it suits them. And if a court slaps them and says you're not allowed to do that, as the Supreme Court has done in a number of other rulings 13 times, then I think that it really is going to trim their sails and make it more difficult for them to make these extra legal changes going forward, which means that it's going to be harder and harder for them to actually make this law work, because the law is really so, so fundamentally dysfunctional.
I know your expertise is health policy and not legal decisions, Grace Marie, but the way you write this about the 3-judge panel is it looks like it's a 1-1 split right now, with the presiding judge likely to make the difference here. Based on what you heard in those oral arguments, what do you expect to hear whenever this comes down?
Well, Judge Griffiths expressed a lot of skepticism as well about, you know, it's not up to us to fix the law. If Congress passed a law that doesn't work, then Congress needs to fix it. The court shouldn't fix it. And so having heard those arguments that day, I would have thought after that we would have a 2-to-1 decision saying that, yes, the plaintiff is right. It's the case is Halbig v. was Sebelius, now Burwell, Secretary of Health and Human Services, but it's called Halbig, H-A-L-B-I-G, is the one to follow. And I would think that they would have voted for the plaintiff and said, yes, Halbig is right. These subsidies are not legal.
Well, it's a saga that never seems to have an end, Grace.
And there are many more challenges coming as well. But this is a really serious one that goes to the heart of the law, because it's all about subsidies. And if these subsidies aren't legal, then all of Obamacare is really called into question.
Grace Marie, we'll be checking back in with you. Thanks so much for your time today.
Wonderful, Greg. Thanks.
Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute, one of the leading health policy organizations in the nation. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.